I'm also honored to be the caboose preacher, the final speaker here at the awesome August nights. And I put a lot of prayer in what the Lord would want me to come and share with you tonight. And I really wanted to come and bring a message of encouragement. And as I continue to pray, I felt like the Lord began to stir in my heart not to encourage you, but to warn you. Now, you have been behaving since Pastor Kelly had been here, haven't you? But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to come and speak to Kempsville Church family tonight about a warning. But I'm going to do it in an encouraging tone. I have a pastor's heart. I'm a shepherd of a congregation. But at times the church needs to be warned. And there is a passage in Scripture that is a warning to all believers. So tonight I want to speak on the subject, a warning about bitterness. A warning about bitterness. And I want you to find the book of Hebrews in your New Testament. And I want you to look for chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Now, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, we know this passage because it begins with this picture of a race. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't let anything trip you up in the race. There's a cloud of witnesses that are spectators and they're watching. And so don't let any sin trip you up. And then later when you get into the text, he talks about bitterness. And if there is one thing that can trip many believers in their race, it is a bitter, unforgiving spirit. So let's listen well tonight. This is the word of the Lord. And he is giving us a warning about something every age group in this room needs to hear about bitterness. So I want to read Hebrews 12 and let's read verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble. And by this, by that bitterness, many become defiled. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for this great church. This is your bride at Kempsville. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God in this church. Thank you for their beloved pastor. We continue to pray for healing in Brother Kelly's life. Strengthen him and bring him back soon to this flock. Lord, thank you for the great worship, for this choir and the musicians that are so gifted that serve you. Thank you, God, for how we have been led to the throne of God. And now, Lord, prepare us to hear a message from you. We have read your word, and now we pray that you would speak to us from the word of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm warning us tonight, and I'm just giving you a warning that God is giving us from his word about bitterness. And let me say this about bitterness tonight. There is nothing for you in bitterness. Choir, there is nothing for you in bitterness. Don't ever think that bitterness is a blessing. You'll never find one shred of blessing in a bitter spirit. No one is going to be blessed when bitterness is dwelling in their heart and their mind and their life. Even those around you, you will rob them of a blessing in the relationship that you share with them when bitterness is in your life. There is nothing for you, there's nothing for me in bitterness. And furthermore, you never have the right to be bitter. Amen. Now, some in this room may think that you are an exception, that something happened to you this year, a decade ago, when you were a child, so therefore you have the right to be bitter. But listen, bitterness is never acceptable. Bitterness is never permitted by God's people. Bitterness is a very clever liar because bitterness will lie to you and say, well, you have the right to be bitter because of what happened to you. You know, I've been a senior pastor for 24 years, and I've met a lot of people in as a pastor. Churches I've pastored, places I have been, and I've met a lot of people that some bad stuff happened to them. And you would think that they would be bitter because of the events in their life, but they're very remarkable people that they never allowed bitterness to enter their heart. You know someone like that? Maybe someone like that at Kempsville. Maybe someone like that in your family, and you know about the betrayal of their ex-spouse. You know about the terrible tragedy that happened to them. And so they rose above that, and they didn't allow bitterness to infect them. Becky, my wife and I, we have a friend. We hadn't talked to him in a long time. He's in his mid-90s, and his name is Paul Estes. And he's a retired pastor. His wife, Dot, she's been with the Lord now for a few years. But we were friends with them when we were young in ministry. We got to know Paul and Dot Estes. And they told us a story about their daughter, Juanita, who was murdered. Juanita was a senior in high school in a North Florida community. And a new mall opened up in that town, Orange Park, Florida. And Juanita and her friends went to the mall. It was her senior year. She'd be graduating in a few months. Well, at the mall, she was abducted by a serial killer. And this serial killer murdered her. They couldn't find Juanita. She went missing. And the whole community were in shock. And this was way before social media and being able to connect, you know, online and things like that to get the word out. And so they were searching all over for Juanita. Even high school graduation came that June, and Paul and Dot sat in her spot and stood in their daughter's place because they still had not found her. Well, they did find her body, and her body was decomposed and so tragic. She was found in the swamp, and the man was found that murdered her, accused of this crime, got a double life sentence, still in prison, double life sentence. But let me fast forward and tell you what Paul told me. Paul was telling Becky and I about this, and he said, do you know what I did? I went to the Florida State Prison to meet with the killer of my daughter. I met with him, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, I forgive you for murdering my daughter. Because I'm not going to allow what you did, as evil as it was, and I'm not going to allow bitterness to destroy my life, my marriage, my family. I forgive you, and may God have mercy on your soul. That's amazing. Could you do that? Would you come up close and hear this? Could you do that? Would you be able to do what Paul Estes did when he said, I forgive you? You know, I think about a man in the book of Genesis named Joseph, and we all remember that young man, and boy, he had a lot of bad stuff happen to him. His own brothers sold him into slavery. He was the first victim of human trafficking, and he was sold to some slave traders, and then when he was in Egypt, there was a woman that lied about him and said that he committed sexual harassment and harmed her. It was all a lie, but he was thrown in prison, forgotten about. But here's the thing about Joseph. He never got bitter. You won't find a bad report on Joseph when you read his story in Genesis 37 to 50. Here's this man that had all this bad happen to him, and he refused to get bitter. He even said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God turned it around for my good and for God's glory. So listen, we never have the right to be bitter. There's nothing for you or me in bitterness. And that's why the writer of Hebrews in verse 15, he warns us and says, looking carefully lest anyone. Now, the verse simply means every one of you, no matter what your age is, watch out for bitterness. It can happen to any single person in this church tonight. Bitterness can slip into your life. All of us have to watch out for this. I got bitter one time. I was in New Orleans Baptist Seminary working on my graduate degree. And I got very bitter toward a professor. I felt like he did me wrong. I just moved to New Orleans, and they didn't tell me that when you live in New Orleans, they didn't tell me about the 5-second rule. The 5-second rule, that when you're in an intersection and light turns green, don't go count to five. Because people run red lights there all the time. And so I went, and my car got hit badly. I mean, it just totaled my car. The airbags were deployed, bruised me all up. Had to ride in a wrecker truck all the way over the West Bank of New Orleans. Got to my dorm room like at 3 in the morning. And the next morning at 8 o'clock, I had a class called Historical Biblical Geography. We studied Bible maps. Doesn't that sound exciting? We didn't call it historical biblical geography. We called it hysterical biblical geography. Well, that morning at 8 o'clock, our teacher gave us a pop quiz. And his pop quizzes were a big deal. They were very weighted. If you failed one, you could be in trouble. And I went to him and I said to him, I am not prepared for this quiz. And I showed him my bruises and what happened that night. And he said, well, you can't miss this quiz. You got to take it. And I failed it. And I'm telling you, I got bitter toward him. I got bitter. I know I'm a pastor. But I got clay feet like you. I put on my britches just like you do. And so I got very bitter. That whole semester I was angry toward that professor. And God had to work on me in that area of my life and convicted me about that. And that's not the only time I've been bitter in my life. So I'm just going to tell you something. I'm talking to the right group tonight. Some of you looking around saying, I hope they're here tonight. I noticed she's not in the choir tonight. Boy, I hope she's... No. The right group's here. So you need to hear it. And we're given this warning about bitterness. Now, why should you be so careful about bitterness seeping into your heart? He picks up in verse 15 and he says, because you'll fall short of the grace of God. You'll fall short of the grace of God. Let me tell you what that does not mean. That does not mean you can become unsaved. If you're saved, you can't become unsaved. So if you're falling short of the grace of God, it means you're going to lack something. You will lack grace in your life. It means that you'll be in need of something because you're going to be in short supply of it. And what do we all need every day of our life? Grace, grace, and more of it. See, God not only saves me by His grace, He keeps me by His grace. He sustains me by His grace. All day long I've been praying for the Houston folks. Well, I'm telling you, my heart's just hurting tonight, and I know yours is too. And I just keep saying, God, give them grace. Give them grace. See, we need grace, and we need more grace, because see, grace gets you through what you're going through. But if you're bitter, your grace gauge will move from full to a half to a quarter of a tank. You'll be grace poor, is what I'm saying. You will be defeated. See, we've been singing about break the chains, but something about bitterness can chain you up. And so when you're bitter, you'll fall short of the grace of God. It means you'll walk in defeat. You will not be a victorious Christian. In other words, it will keep back the power of God in your life. It will hold back the power of God in your life. Could one of the reasons that we do not see revival and awakening in our churches in America is because there might be some bitterness in the church. I wonder if everybody had a bucket tonight and we tried to collect all the bitterness out of the buckets. Would we just have buckets and buckets and buckets full of bitterness? Maybe even right in this church on a Monday night here in August. Bitterness is everywhere. Bitterness is in our world today. We have never been in such a hateful climate on social media and the stuff that we hear that comes out of leaders' mouths and politics and conflicts and divisions and how America is so divided. I was reading a verse the other day in Romans 3 and 14, and it says that our mouths are full of bitterness and cursing. We live in a very bitter day. Not only is there bitterness in the world, there's a lot of bitterness in the church. Some people don't come to church because they got hurt, and now they're bitter toward the church. When I first became a pastor, I was in my young 20s, and I was all excited about, you know, growing this church and loving on the community. And I knocked on the door of a person's home in that community in South Mississippi, and I invited them to church, and they began to curse the church. They were so angry, and as I listened, I found out that they had a hurt that was like 2 decades old that was never wound, that was never healed in their heart. And they said, "I'll never come to church again because of that hurt." And you know someone like that. How many people in here are bitter toward God? You're bitter toward God because you're blaming your bad health on God. You're blaming something that happened to you on God. We take a lot of blame and put it there at the throne of God so often, don't we? And then we're bitter in our relationships. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, husbands, do not be bitter toward your wife. And you know, I know in this crowd tonight, there's probably some bitterness in somebody's marriage. And I know you got your happy face on, but when you get in the car, you're not going to speak to one another. And you're angry. But when you come to church, everybody steps on the miracle asphalt out there, and we all just start praising God, don't we? And we're all laughing because we know we're all a bunch of hypocrites at times. I know I am. And so there's a lot of bitter. And some of you, you're bitter toward family members. I see this all the time. That mom and dad will die and families are torn apart over the will, over the possessions, over daddy's hammer. They're mad because my sister got daddy's hammer and she doesn't know anything about carpentry and daddy taught me how to build bookcases and I should have that hammer. And you're so mad you want to hammer your sister in the head. And I have literally seen this at some family members when you speak to one another. I'm going to tell you something I know about the Virginia crowd, the Georgia crowd, wherever you're at. There's some of you, you're not talking to some family members. You got a sister, you got a brother in another state, and you're ticked off at them, and you're mad, you're bitter, and you hadn't spoke to them in a long, long time. I'm telling you, this is real. This is what we need to hear tonight as the people of God, because it's holding back God's power. So let me just talk to you tonight from these two verses, going to unpack these verses, going to make some comments tonight, some statements that I believe that will encourage you and warn you at the same time. Number one, bitterness goes deep. Bitterness goes deep. Go back to the verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up. Key word is root. He's calling bitterness a root. Roots go deep. Roots are underground. Roots are hidden. And so bitterness, it may not be visible in this room tonight because it is a root problem. It is a hidden problem. It goes underneath the surface. That's why we can't see it with our eyes, but God can see it with His eyes. Those roots go deep. I remember the summer of 1985, I was 15, and my mom decided she wanted to pull all the azalea bushes out of her front yard and plant other things. And boy, we had these azalea bushes that their root system went so deep, we had to take a pickup, put a chain around those azalea bushes. That summer was brutal as we would dig up those azaleas. The roots went so deep. That's the picture I'm trying to paint tonight. That when bitterness will get into someone's life, it goes very deep. Bitterness is a hidden hurt that gets fixed in the heart. I want you to listen to that definition of bitterness. It is a hurt that's hidden, but then it attaches itself to the heart. See, we all get hurt. Every one of us has been hurt. And when we get hurt, the majority of us let it go. We've all been hurt in church. We've all been hurt in marriage. We've all been hurt in our families. We've all been hurt, you know, in our Sunday school classes at times. But see, we get past that hurt. But bitterness is a hurt you can't get past. It's a hurt you hold on to. Now, there's a lot of hurts out there. You have hurts that you might call them intentional hurts. And some people are just mean. You ever met someone that's just mean? They are out to hurt people. Stay away from them. Don't get near them. There are some mean trolls on social media. Don't even get into a discussion with them. You know what? If you argue with a fool, the Bible says in Proverbs, then you're going to look like a fool yourself. And so just stay away from them. And then there are unintentional hurts. This means you've been hurt by someone and they didn't know they hurt you. Last year, about a year ago, a real nice lady in our church that I pastor in Georgia came and made an appointment with me. And I had no idea what she wanted. I didn't think she had any problems, but I'm like, sure, we can meet. She sat down. As soon as she sat in my office, she began to cry. I said, are you okay? She says, I'm hurt with you, Pastor Jeff. And then I began to think about, is there a sin I need to confess? What did I do? She said, several months ago, when we were having a meal in the fellowship room, you were walking around shaking people's hands. You looked right at me and walked right by me and didn't speak, and you hurt me. Now, let me tell you something. I never remembered walking by her and not speaking to her. You know, sometimes you can be looking at people and be thinking about something else. And I had no idea she was upset. It was a real hurt. And I said, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? And I prayed with her. And at times, you know, maybe the preacher don't see you. You know, I have people upset with me because they'll pass me on the road and they said, you didn't wave at me. I really thought about putting one of those spring hands on my window that just waves all the time. Put them on every window. So when I'm riding by, Pastor Jeff will wave at me. But listen, sometimes you can get hurt and someone didn't even mean to do that. But you're bitter about it. And then some hurts that we have, they're imagined. They didn't even happen. And there's some people that are paranoid. And if I'm looking at some paranoid people, let me tell you something. This fall, I don't want you to go to any football games. Because when you're up there in that stand and that team gets in a huddle, you're going to be thinking they're talking about you. And I want to help you. Because you're going to have an anxiety attack thinking they're talking about you. Now listen to me. This is real stuff tonight. Hurt. It's a root that's deep. And then that hurt is a seed. And when it gets planted in the heart, it takes up root and then it begins to produce fruit. Every root will produce some type of fruit. And this fruit is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is bitter fruit. And if I could take a moment and give you some examples of the bitter fruit in the life of a bitter person, they're harsh. If you're ever around someone and they're so harsh, they're harsh in their words, they're harsh in their statements they make, they're just harsh toward their spouse, to their children. If you're around them long enough, let me tell you what you'll find. You'll find a root of bitterness. Harsh people are bitter. Sarcastic. You know someone like that? They are sarcastic about everything. They're very cynical. See, they've had something so negative happen to them, so therefore they're negative about everything else. And here's another quality about them, bad quality. They're not grateful. They don't praise God much. They're not grateful. If you're not grateful, you can't praise God. An ingrate can't praise God. And so you're not grateful as a bitter person because you feel like you've been wronged. And also a bitter person, they're cool. And what I mean, not Fonzie cool, happy days. Boy, that's dating me. No, I'm talking about aloof. I'm talking about when they walk into the room, the temperature of the room drops 12 degrees. And they keep an arm's distance. They don't trust people. They've been so hurt, they won't get vulnerable and transparent around anyone. And they're critical and fault-finding. They'll find criticism about everything. They'll be critical about the songs and the service. They'll be critical about the length of the service. They'll be critical about changes in the church. Let me tell you something. If you're looking for something to criticize in this church, you'll find it. If you come to this church looking for Jesus, you'll find Him. So here's what I tell my two kids. What you look for, you'll find every single time. And bitter people, they're always looking for something to criticize. And this bitter fruit that's inside the heart, it begins to show up on the countenance. And you begin to see the sad face of the bitter person. And it just, you can't hide it. I mean, what's in the heart eventually will come out. I remember several Christmases ago, we were out Christmas shopping, my wife Becky and our kids. And Becky got in the car and she's like, boy, I need a mint or something. My throat is so dry. Well, in the back seat, my son Josiah, he had these Warheads. They're like sour candy, like Warheads. And he played the cruelest trick on his mom. He said, here, Mom, here's a mint. She's like, oh, thank you, sweet baby. And so she put that Warhead in her mouth. You should have seen her face. Listen, she tried to throw that Warhead out the window and the window was rolled up. Boy, we had a time. And she got real bitter about it too. But listen, what I'm trying to say is when there's bitterness in your heart, it eventually will show on your countenance. So what are we learning tonight? Bitterness goes deep. I want you to write this down. Bitterness goes for destruction. Bitterness goes for destruction. Now look again at our verse, verse 15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by this many are defiled. So there's two point words I want you to see about bitterness. It will cause trouble in your life and it will defile you. Bitterness is a poison that will destroy you. Bitterness functions like its own whip. Bitterness will work like an acid in your heart and will eat away your heart. Even the word bitterness in the text, it means to prick, to cut, or to puncture. And when I studied the word to puncture or to cut, in my mind, I thought about like an ice pick, you know, puncturing the heart, all these holes in the heart, and then you pour the acid in. That's exactly what bitterness will do. It will destroy you. And then the word defiled. Notice the word defiled. Do you see it there in verse 15? And many are defiled. That word defiled, it's used also in the New Testament in Luke 6:18. What is in Luke 6:18? It is an account of a bunch of demons defiling someone. And it's the same word used. So I'm telling you something. There's something demonic about bitterness. And demons can use bitterness in the life of a Christ follower to defile them. This is serious stuff. That's why it's a warning tonight. Bitterness will affect you and you will infect others. So notice this. We are affected when we are bitter. It will affect you. It will affect you physically. We have several doctors in our church and people in the medical community. And I was even speaking to one of our physicians about this a while back when I was preparing this message. And he said that there are so many illnesses related to a bitter heart or a bitter spirit in someone. I mean, it's even been some studies that there's like some 50 diseases and illnesses that could be attached to unforgiveness or bitterness in someone's life. It can affect you physically. It will affect you emotionally. It will make you a sour person. We all know in Luke 15, there is a story that's well known about the prodigal son. But there's some in that story that don't get the press coverage like they need to. And one in particular I'm thinking about is the elder brother. I mean, we think about the prodigal son that left home. What about the brother that never left home? And he was the older brother. And remember when the young brother came back from the hog pen and the dad put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on his back, the father went out there to the older brother who's been faithful and never left and said, come, we're having a party. But he would not come to the celebration because he was bitter. He was so bitter, he said, I'm not coming in. And I wonder how many of you in this room, you miss out on Holy Ghost celebrations because of your bitterness. I mean, you look around you and everybody's smiling and you're not. Who do you think the problem is? Who has the problem? I mean, you're missing out on celebration. You're missing out on joy. You're missing out on what God wants to do in your life because you're sour like the elder brother in the prodigal son story. And it will make you stuck. If you're bitter, you can't go forward. God put eyes in the front of your head, not the back of your head, because God wants to remind you life's about going forward, not going backwards. But if you're bitter, you can't go forward because you are chained to the past experience that's made you bitter. I'm talking to some folks today. You are stuck. You can't move forward in your career. You can't move forward in your life. You can't move forward spiritually because you are stuck. You are chained to your past. I mean, bitter people, they're always looking in the rearview mirror at the people behind them that's wronged them. And you're a slave. You're a slave to them. You're like, no, I'm not a slave to them. You are, because you can't let go of what they did to you, and you're chained to them. They control you. You've allowed bitterness to become your master. You've allowed bitterness to control you. There's so many people, they can't even enjoy life because of a past experience that keeps coming back to the surface. I mean, you go on vacation in the summer and boy, you're out there at the beach and you're enjoying the sunshine and you got a good book to read, and then all of a sudden you'll think about her. You'll think about him, and then it will sour your whole vacation. Or you'll have a nice meal in front of you and you're about to eat, and then you think about, they like this restaurant too, and you hate their guts. You would spit in their ear if their brain was on fire, and you're so mad at them, and it gives you indigestion. I'm just telling you that when you're bitter towards somebody, you become a slave to them, and they hold you in bondage, and then it will affect you spiritually. It affects you physically, emotionally, spiritually. Go back to the text. He says that you'll lack or fall short of the grace of God, you'll have no peace, and you'll become grace poor. And God never saved you to be grace poor. He saved you to abound in His grace. But because of this bitterness, it will wither you spiritually. So it will affect you. But then make a note of this. It will infect others. We infect others when we are bitter. Look at verse 15. Look at the last phrase of verse 15. And by this, and by bitterness, many are defiled. See the word many? When you're bitter, you will infect others with that bitterness. I mean, there's a lot of people, they are so bitter, and they just go around and they emotionally throw up on people. I'm not trying to be crude, but when someone throws up in front of me, it makes me sick and I throw up. And so you know those folks. I mean, they are so bitter and they're just emotionally regurgitating on everybody. I'm telling you something about a bitter person. If you're around them and they get comfortable around you, they will spill their bitterness out soon. You all know it. Come on. We're all grown-ups in this place. You all know it. That after a while, it will start coming out and you'll defile other people. I've seen young people so bitter toward God because their moms and dads were bitter toward God. We talk about the young people leaving the church and not coming back. There's a lot of reasons, but here's one I don't think that we talk about often. They got rebellious parents. Here we're talking about rebellious youth. Why don't we talk about rebellious parents? Why don't we talk about dad and mom that every Sunday afternoon barbecued the preacher around the lunch table? Or talk about something they don't like. And I'm telling you, it will spill into the life of your family. I was preaching a few weeks ago in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at an event like this on a Monday night. And I brought the same message. And a lady came up to me after the service, and she was about 85. And she said to me, when you talked about bitterness will infect others, I had a whole lifetime of that. She said, when I was 6 and my brother was 4, we were riding in the back of my dad's pickup. And my dad had a little accident when we were riding on that dirt road, and my brother was thrown out and he was killed. And my mama never forgave my daddy. And she said to me, she's 85, and she said, my whole life was hell growing up. Because my mama hated my dad and never forgave him, and it destroyed our family. And she said, dad died, and she said, I think my dad died of a broken heart. But years later, after dad died, my mom said, you know what? I forgive him. And she said, I said to my mom, it's too late for that now. She said, your bitterness about killed us all. And this is what she said to me. She said, you keep preaching this message because this is real stuff. It does infect others. And if you're bitter, You'll drive people away from you. You say, I don't know why no one wants to be around me. Because you're so stinking bitter. People run from you. They see you walking around here. They run into the nursery and hide under a crib. Are they gone? And you won't even have anyone to eat with. You'll go to a restaurant and say, bitter party of one, please. I mean, no one's going to want to eat with you. I'm just telling you the truth, that when you're bitter, it can destroy your relationship with your spouse. It can make your adult children not even want to pick up the phone and call you, because all you do is spew out bitterness all the time. So bitterness goes deep, and bitterness goes for destruction. Now let me be practical as I close out this message tonight. We've painted on a black canvas tonight. This is bad stuff, this bitterness. There's nothing for you in bitterness. So let me say this. Bitterness goes when you decide to let it go. I want you to take your Bible and flip over to Ephesians for a moment. We've looked at the root of bitterness. Let's talk about how we get rid of bitterness. Ephesians 4, look at verse 29 and look at verse 29, 30, 31, and 32. Namely, I want you to look at verse 31. And look what the Bible says. Ephesians 4 and 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's interesting when he says let all bitterness go, and then he mentions all these negative emotions. See, bitterness, I mean, it just begins to give energy to all, sinful energy to all kind of things. He says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Now the word put away, it means to throw it out. It means to get rid of it, to dispose of it. You know, in our house, there's four people that live in our home, and we make more garbage than anyone in our whole neighborhood. I don't know how, I'm always taking out the garbage. My son's 11 now, that's his new spiritual gift, I told him the other day. And he takes it out. But I don't know how we do it, but it's like there's always garbage to take out. Now let me tell you what we don't do at our home. We don't let the garbage just sit there in the kitchen and pile up. It stinks. And we're not interested in building an airport for flies to land on, so we get that garbage out of the house. We don't want, Becky might cut up a cantaloupe in the summertime, and boy, that'll stink up your house. Get that garbage out. Now, I'm painting that picture to say, there's a lot of us tonight with bitterness in our heart. You need to take out the trash. Where does the trash belong? On the curb. And some of you, this bitterness that you've been living with for years and decades, you need to flush it down the toilet and let it go to the sewer where it belongs. Get rid of the bitterness. It is a choice. Make a note of that. It is a choice. We choose our response. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You have Holy Spirit power, and you can choose peace or bitterness. In Hebrews 12:13, he said, pursue peace. In Hebrews 12:14, he talked about the root of bitterness. There's a choice. I can choose peace, or I can choose bitterness. It is a choice. And then write this down. It's by grace. It's by God's grace. Now, remember, when I'm bitter, I am short of grace. I'm in need of grace. Bitterness will make me grace poor. What do you need more than anything? Grace. Grace is, here's a great definition of grace. Grace is both the desire and the ability to do the will of God. And when God's grace is flowing in your life, He is the one that gives you the strength to let go of that bitterness. My daughter, like teenage girls, had something happen to her last year in her 10th grade year. Something that hurt her in a relationship. And she got very bitter toward this person that did some mean things and lied to her and hurt her, hurt her heart. And so she was very bitter and was really struggling with forgiving this person. And her Sunday school teacher, Miss Terry, gave her a book to read over the summer on the life of Corrie Ten Boom. And my daughter Macy over the summer read Corrie Ten Boom's book and about her story. And she read this chapter about how Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a German camp under the Nazis. Her sister Betsy died, and how she forgave a German soldier that she would see later on in the States. And she talked about she couldn't do it, but God did it through her. And Macy said, "Dad, listen to this." And she read to me about how Corrie ten Boom forgave somebody. And she said, "I couldn't do it, but Jesus did it through me." And she said, "Dad, I just need to let Jesus do it through me." And that's what you need to do tonight. That hurt your ex-spouse. Maybe they abandoned you. Left you with a big bill. Left you and your children in need. Maybe you got unjustly terminated at work. Maybe you were stabbed in the back at another church and you're still healing here at this sweet church called Kempsville. I don't know. I mean, every one of us have been wronged, have been hurt, but let Jesus, through you, forgive them and let go of the bitterness. It's a choice. It's by grace. It's the gospel. When we let go of bitterness, we are showing people the power of the gospel. Look at verse 32. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Who is the model for us to forgive others that have harmed us? Jesus Christ. Thank you, Andrew, for getting us focused on Jesus tonight. I mean, did Jesus have the right to be bitter? They pulled out his beard. They slapped him in the face. They spit in his face. What did he do from the cross? He could have been on that cross and said, "Let them go to hell." But he said, "Father, forgive them." Charles Spurgeon wrote many years ago, "Let us go to the cross to be forgiven. Let us stay at the cross to learn to forgive." You say, "But they've wronged me. They've hurt me." Don't treat people the way they treat you. Treat people the way Jesus treats you. I'm going to say it one more time and pray. Don't treat people based on how they have treated you. Treat people based on how Jesus has treated you. And you have failed like me. Thousands of times I have. And he's been forgiven. He's been merciful. And so therefore, as a child of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I must not be bitter. Who needed this message tonight? God brought you here. I mean, this is the last Monday night. Boy, you've been blessed by Brother Mac Brunson and Brother Ted Traylor and Brother Fred Luter and Brother Kevin Azell. And God has used messages over these months in August. And you've been a faithful church in Pastor Kelly's absence. But listen, God makes no mistake. He orchestrated this evening tonight. The songs about Jesus, the message that you would hear, he brought you here tonight. You know something you need to do tonight? You need to come and you need to let some bitterness lay here at this altar and walk away. When we have this altar call, you need to leave your seat and come and just pray that God would release you from that bitterness and set you free. Some of you tonight, you know someone and you know they're bitter. You need to come pray for them. You need to come pray and intercede that God would set them free and maybe even point them in the direction of this Bible message you've heard. And maybe it could encourage them. And you know what? We live in a bitter world today. And some of us just need to come and pray for our country. We need to pray for the people of Texas. Because, you know, they could get real bitter, couldn't they? Well, I know we all could. And we need to come and pray that God would help them and heal their hearts and keep them strong. There's a lot for us tonight to pray about. So I'm telling you. This altar needs to be used tonight, okay? And you may be sitting way back there, and it's okay. Or maybe you don't feel comfortable coming to the altar to pray. Find you an altar anywhere in the church. But let's do business with God tonight. God's warned us. Bitterness goes deep. It goes for destruction. And it goes when we say, "I'm going to let it go." Tonight, if you've never followed Jesus as your personal Savior and been born again, That's your need tonight. Because see, sin is bitter. And the bitterness of sin that we all inherited from our parents, Adam and Eve, the only cure for that when they partook of that fruit from that tree, is this tree here, the cross. And it sets us free. Pray with me. Lord God, thank You tonight for our time in the Word. Lord, Hebrews 12 and Ephesians 4, You've spoken to our hearts tonight, God. And you've led us to be warned about bitterness. And so I want to pray, God, for Your people that, Lord, they would confess sin. They would turn from bitterness so healing can come to their heart. And Lord, revival can truly come to our hearts. And so I just pray tonight that we'd respond to this message. One thing that accompanies bitterness is pride. Pride and bitterness, sometimes they're inseparable. And because of pride, we won't let go of the bitterness and we won't even come and pray. But Lord, defeat pride tonight by the power of the cross and give us freedom just to say, God, I'm going to be set free from bitterness. I want this root to be pulled out of my life. And I want You to plant the fruit of the Spirit, and may the fruit of the Spirit be in my life. So Lord, just draw Your people to You. Save someone tonight that's lost. Revive Your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.